Just gonna wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Third and final hour, your defending fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Well, over the weekend, the Democratic National Committee came out with their dates for the primary presidential nominating contest for 2028. DNC Bylaws Committee proposed the dates as follows. The first date to vote on January 22nd, 2028 will be South Carolina. February 1st, Nevada. February 8th, New Hampshire. February 15th, New Mexico. And then a month after the first four states, South Carolina, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Mexico, February 22nd, 2028, will be Michigan. Proposed early window states for their Democratic primary nominating contest. Now, this is interesting. Michigan being fifth for the Democrats. Now, will the Republicans, the RNC, match these dates so that they can land on the same date as the Democrat primary? You have to remember, presidential primaries, folks, is where they basically determine and find out whether you are a Republican or Democrat in Michigan. We don't have party registration like other states. However, depending on if you ask for a Republican ballot or a Democrat ballot in the presidential primaries is where they gather that information. I've always wondered, we don't have registration in Michigan. How do they know if we're Democrats or Republicans? You know how we hear on TV or see other states talking, well, I'm a registered Democrat. I'm a registered Republican. Sean Hannity, when he lived in New York, claimed that he was a registered independent. Well, Michigan Democratic Party Chairman Curtis Hertel said, quote, the road to the White House runs through Michigan. And we are proud to be in the early window of the 2028 presidential primary calendar, while thanking the DNC Rules and Bylaws Committee for recognizing Michigan's importance, end quote, said Curtis Hertel. He then added, Michigan is the most diverse battleground state in the nation. And a candidate who can win here in Michigan can win nationwide. As Michigan goes, so goes the nation. So, pretty interesting statement from Curtis Hertel. One thing the Democrats wanted to make sure is that Michigan beat Illinois and Iowa. And joining South Carolina, Nevada, New Hampshire, and New Mexico as being some of the first states to vote in this very important nominating process for president in 2028. Short break, word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
After avoiding debates for months, John James just made it clear why. When questioned by Perry Johnson about his support for the reviled killswitch mandate and being funded by data center developers, John James strangely replied,
"I know when you were born, black people could still be bought and sold in this country, but no one owns me."
Huh? John James went right to the Democrat strategy of playing the race card. John James is no conservative. He's a lying liberal. John James as governor? Terrifying thought. Perry Johnson is our conservative choice. Non-politician, real Republican, really smart. Helps save the American automobile industry. And can apply the same skills to get Michigan back on track. Perry Johnson from Michigan.
I'm Perry Johnson, and I approve this message. Paid for by Perry Johnson for Governor.
If you have pain in your back, neck, shoulders, hip, knees, wrists, or feet, Dr. Gary Willey's Chiropractic Services in Sheboygan has a robotic laser treatment for you. This technology takes away pain, inflammation, and promotes healing. Experience robotic laser pain relief at a special new customer price. Call us for fast relief Monday through Wednesday to learn more and to schedule an appointment at 231-627-4300. Again, 231-627-4300.
Gun owners in northern Michigan don't have to go far to get their firearm problem solved. Curtis Gunsmithing handles all gun work, adjustments, bluing, rebarreling, cleaning, and even FFL transfers. Need a stock refinished or some custom work done? How about a trigger job? That's right. Let the gun doctor, Tom Curtis of Curtis Gunsmithing, take care of old Betsy. She'll be in good hands. Call 231-347-3487. That's 347-3487. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second segment, hour number three. Looking at the campaign finance reports that were finalized, submitted last Thursday, 10 House Republicans outraised by the Democrats in competitive districts. 10 House Republicans representing arguably the most competitive districts were outraised by their presumed Democratic challengers from the first of the year, January 1st to July 19th. While no incumbent Democrats are being remotely challenged by a Republican opponent. According to the campaign finance reports filed with the Bureau of Elections 4 p.m. last Thursday. In a few competitive open seats, the Republicans did not raise more than the Democrat if they filed the campaign required finance report at all. Former Representative Jamie Churches led the way by raising $181,282 compared to State Representative Riley Linton of Wyandotte, who only raised $68,953. Another surprise was Holland-based House District 86. Joseph McCluskey raised $153,258 and only spent $4,000 against incumbent State Representative Nancy DeBoer of Holland. She only raised $48,924. This guy raised more than $100,000 more than she did. Fundraising is led up and down the board, with Democratic candidates holding a cash-on-hand advantage by more than $1 million. In 14 selected seats, Democrat incumbents and challengers raised $1.5 million in the first half of the year and have most of that in the bank. Meanwhile, Republicans raised $639,672 and have almost all of it as cash on hand. Well, State Representative Joey Andrews, Democrat from St. Joseph, a House Democratic Fund board member, said, "I definitely like our numbers compared to theirs in every one of these races. It may help close the gap between our two caucuses when we win some of these competitive seats." Now, one thing you have to understand, folks, the House Democrats are in the minority right now, 58 Republicans to 52 Democrats, while they right now maintain a two-seat majority in the state Senate. Well, they desperately want to win back the majority in the House and maybe even expand a couple of seats in the Senate. Why? Because they're afraid history will repeat itself and give us a Republican governor. And if Benson wins, they want their trifecta back. Control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's office. Well, Matt Hall, his Republican leadership as Speaker, doesn't appear to be in any trouble. Matt Hall raised $132,922, which is more than his two Democratic opponents combined. They only raised $1,480 between the two of them. House Appropriations Committee Chair Ann Bowen, she raised $40,451 against her Democrat opponent, who only raised $17,140. So Ann Bowen looks like she'll be reelected based on the money. Now, others that are five Republican incumbents who got outraised by the Democrats, two of these are very interesting. Mark Tisdale, Republican in Rochester, incumbent, only raised $55,201. His Democrat opponent, Alex Hawkins, in this swing district, raised $70,331. Very interesting. Timothy Bassan, Republican of Bay City, he only raised $21,115. His Democrat opponent more than doubled him. Chris Gerard raised $56,120. This is House District 96. Well, the real surprise of all of this is up in the UP. State Representative Carl Bonack, the Republican from Negaunee, he raised $71,019 to be reelected. Well, the Democrats are really motivated to replace him with Democrat Anna Rink. She raised almost double, $134,782. Going to be very, very interesting to see what happens in November. So we'll see what's going on there. Now, one seat that caught my eye, because this is my home county of Macomb, House District 59. Sylvia Grott raised $34,082 cash on hand. Well, the accountant opponent, Jean Zott, raised almost double. Republican primary, $67,543. So it'll be very interesting. So we'll continue to watch this, especially heading toward the August 4th primary, see who wins, and then figure out what the races are going to be in November in all these districts around the state of Michigan. One story from Michigan, but yet has to do with Washington, ties right into this report regarding finance records. Michigan Democrats are trying to turn what U.S. Congressman Bill Huizenga, a Republican from Zeeland, having financial ties to his step half-brother, into a campaign issue in what's becoming an increasingly competitive 4th congressional district race for Congress. Democrats accusing the longtime incumbent of using his campaign and public office to benefit himself and his family. Their argument came out via a press release on Friday, centers on the Metro Times report that Huizenga's campaign paid more than $400,000 over 12 years to a company owned by his half-brother, Jim Barry, who also worked on real estate transactions involving a condominium business owned by Huizenga and his wife. Democratic Party Chair Curtis Hertel said Huizenga pays campaign cash to his brother's company. His brother then helps Huizenga line his pockets through Huizenga's luxury condo business. Hertel said Michiganders would describe the arrangement as inside dealing using campaign funds. However, Hertel did not identify any specific law he believed Huizenga or Berry had violated. Metro Times report highlighted that Bill Huizenga's campaign paid Berry's company, JB America LLC, for campaign management and consulting work over a number of years. Berry has long advised Huizenga's campaigns and currently describes himself as the campaign's past part-time chair. The report also examined Berry's separate real estate work, including his marketing and selling properties tied to a condominium development owned by Bill Huizenga and his wife. Democrats that were spoken to as of Friday said they see the connection between Berry's campaign work and his involvement in Huizenga's real estate interests as disturbing. However, the apparent connection does not necessarily establish that campaign payments were connected to real estate transactions. It's not illegal to pay a candidate's relative for legitimate political services, so long as the compensation doesn't exceed fair market values. Well, Hertel wanted to make sure it was very clear. Democrats are alleging this based on this report. If there's a direct connection between campaign cash going to his family and him enriching himself, is what is actually worth looking at. Hertel did not provide any new evidence showing the campaign payments were used directly to fund Huizenga's real estate business or that the payments exceeded the fair market values for Berry's campaign work on Huizenga's campaign. The offensive comes as Democrats increasingly view this 4th congressional district as a potential pickup. Senator Sean McCann, Democrat of Kalamazoo, is the prohibitive favorite to be the nominee for the Democrats on the November 4th district ballot. Recent campaign finance reports from McCann's campaign shows him that he is, in fact, competing when it comes to fundraising. During July 1st through the 15th, first 2 weeks, basically, of this month, Huizenga raised $90,160. McCann, the Democrat, raised $111,407, more than Huizenga. Where the funds come from is a little bit different for each one of the candidates. Huizenga received contributions from 175 people. However, only 9 of them were from Michigan. Well, of course, he's been in Washington, D.C. forever. McCann received 243 donations. 200 of them were from Michigan residents. That's it for this half hour. Bottom of the hour news, hour number 3. We'll be right back.